Praise to Christ, our Lord.
Good morning. May we bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your love to each one of us. We pray that as we gather this morning, that your Holy Spirit may hover over us, inspire in each one of our hearts love, faith, and hope. And Lord, today we ask specially that by your Holy Spirit, you may fill each one of us anew. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please would you be seated. You know, as you gather for worship this morning, you would notice that the color of our church linen, the clergy stoles, as well as the bulletin head, that it is a nice red today, because today is a special day in our Christian calendar. Today is Pentecost Sunday, a day to commemorate the receiving of the Holy Spirit by the early church in the first century AD. Now that was quite some time ago, yet it is not just about history. Today is a special day because today we can once again be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just this past week, I visited a family in their home. They are members of this cathedral church. And as we gathered around the communion, we considered some Bible passages about the Holy Spirit and about the wonderful difference that the Spirit brings into our lives. A certain newness in life, a new hope, a new joy, a new grace. And then suddenly, the senior lady there said, "Pentecost Sunday. That's my birth date. I was born on Pentecost Sunday, 31st of May, 1936. Now, that was before the war. And she said, "My mother gave birth to me in a delivery facility located at Hill Street, nearby the cathedral. And my mother told me that just after I was born that morning, she heard the church bells." Now, I don't know whether she heard the 8 o'clock church bells or the 11 o'clock church bells or what time the church bells were ringing in those days. But the bells of St. Andrew's Cathedral rang gloriously. And for that mother, that day was a very special Pentecost. As she held her newborn, her heart was flooded with great joy as the bells rang the praises of God. God, who by his Holy Spirit brings new life into the world. Friends, today, Pentecost Sunday 2017, may we all also hear these same church bells, because they ring for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But who is the Holy Spirit? And what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? If you look inside the bulletins today, there is a handout for us. It is entitled, "Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. We Need the Anointing of the Holy Spirit." It will be helpful for you to pull this out now because it gives the outline and some supplementary notes for our meditation. The Bible shows us that the Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus Christ himself spoke of the Holy Spirit as a person. So in John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Now, the Greek word Parakletos is used to refer to this helper. And we know that a paraclete is a counselor, an advocate, an encourager, a comforter, someone who comes alongside us to help us. So Jesus was nearing the end of his term here on earth. He was soon going to die and then leave his disciples. But yet they would not be left as orphans, forsaken or disadvantaged. Jesus told his disciples that God the Father would give them another helper. And since Jesus himself is a person, another helper means that the Spirit is a person also. So when we read God's Word, we'll see that God's Word refers to the Holy Spirit not as it, but it uses a personal pronoun. It refers to the Holy Spirit as He. And so we do the same today, because the Holy Spirit is a person. And just like every person, the Holy Spirit has a mind and a will. And the personality of the Holy Spirit includes emotions, attitudes, resulting in specific actions. So in that respect, the Holy Spirit can be saddened. And therefore, God's Word in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, calls us not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. Some religious movements and cults claim that the Holy Spirit is not a person. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that the Holy Spirit is an impersonal force. There are other cults that say the Holy Spirit is a mode or just an influence. The New Age movement is about such a mystical force. May the force be with you, is a phrase used by New Agers to wish one another good luck or goodwill. So it invokes the power of the force to work alongside and to work for the benefit of the addressee. If you've watched the movies, Star Wars, you will remember that Obi-Wan Kenobi used the phrase throughout his Jedi career. To Luke Skywalker, he says, "Use the Force, Luke." He also said, "Goodbye, old friend. The Force will be with you always." So sometimes, Christians, we make this mistake. We think that the Holy Spirit is only a force used by God the Father to accomplish His purpose, or that the Holy Spirit is a source of power and just that, and so we treat Him as a robot or as a vending machine, and so we invoke the power of the Holy Spirit for our own purposes. But friends, God's Word tells us that the Holy Spirit is not a force. He is a person, and not just any person, He is a very special person. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit Himself is God. His attributes, His qualities as God are very clearly evident in the Bible. So if you look at your notes, there are some qualities listed there for our consideration. But just on the fact that God is omnipresent, we will see that the Holy Spirit Himself is also omnipresent. You know, good as they may be, angelic spirits are not omnipresent. So an angel cannot be everywhere all the time. neither the evil spirits. They are territorial and hierarchical, operating in particular locations or situations, but they are not omnipresent. But all the time, the Holy Spirit is present everywhere. For example, when we read the Bible in Psalm 139, King David expressed that it was absolutely impossible for him to escape from God's Spirit. He said that even if he ascended to the heights or descended to the depths, traveled across the sea, surrounded himself with darkness, he would not be able to hide from God. And so in that psalm, David concludes very beautifully, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence?" And friends, isn't that both a terrifying thought as well as comforting? So while the Holy Spirit occupies a place of submission in the Trinity, he is not in any way behind the Father and the Son in his divine attributes. The Holy Spirit is equal with the Father and the Son. And this equality can be seen in three instances recorded for us in the Bible. Firstly, in the creation. Now, we are very familiar with that Bible passage in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. The text is printed in your handout, because that is the one that goes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God," so on and so forth. And by this, we understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, he was there right in the beginning, and he was there involved with God the Father in the creation of the world, in the creation of everything. But now let's read together a passage from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The words are in your handout. Would you please read aloud together with me? It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So friends, we see here that the Spirit of God was there right in the beginning, actively involved in creation. And that line in Genesis, "the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters," does not mean that the Spirit was just water skiing or gliding over the waters in mindless fashion, performing a meaningless activity. Rather, like the word in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11, hovering conveys the idea of a bird sitting in the nest, brooding over her eggs, bringing about new life, and then caring for her young. So a very purposeful work indeed. So in the context of the creation, this is a beautiful picture description of God preparing to bring life into the world through his Holy Spirit. Secondly, we see the Holy Spirit in one of the greatest miracles of all time, the supernatural conception of Jesus Christ. Also in your notes, read with me Luke chapter 1, verse 35. That describes a similar hovering of the Holy Spirit when the angel Gabriel told the Virgin Mary, saying, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Thirdly, we see the Holy Spirit in the salvation of humankind, in your salvation, in my salvation. In fact, here we see that the Holy Spirit is such a critical factor. Let's read together what Jesus said to Nicodemus. This is in John chapter 3, verse 5. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So friends, rightly, our Christian creed, the Nicene Creed, what we affirm every Sunday when we come to church, it affirms the place and the work of the Holy Spirit. We say, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, with the Father and the Son. He is worshipped and glorified. So friends, this is also why when we gather in the sanctuary to worship God, or when we gather in our families or our little cell groups, we pray very often for the Holy Spirit to hover over us, to inspire us, to bring new life, new hope, to bring help to us, into each life and into the life of our church. So today, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Some of you may know this song. It's not a Christian song. Feel is the title of a song written and sung by Robbie Williams. He is the best-selling British solo artist in the UK and the best-selling non-Latino artist in Latin America. And in his song, Robbie sings, "I just want to feel real love. There's a hole in my soul. You can see it in my face. It's a real big place." And you know, Robbie meant every word of that song. He once went on a shopping spree in Los Angeles, and there he bought 7 cars, brand new cars, including a Ferrari, a Porsche, and a Mercedes. But within a week, Robbie wished he had not bought any of them, for they hardly plugged the hole in his soul. Friends, do you have a hole in your soul today? An emptiness that cannot be filled by drugs nor parties? An emptiness that cannot be filled by your wealth nor your exotic pursuits on wonderful holidays? An emptiness that cannot be filled by your personal accomplishments? And did you know that this hole in my soul is a God-shaped hole? Jesus Christ, in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, explained this to us. He told us that it is a spiritual hunger and a thirst for God, which can only be filled by His wonderful Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Holy Spirit. So without the Holy Spirit, you and I are parched. And without the Holy Spirit, the machinery in the church will continue, but the ministry is just a religious production. Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help." So come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us, we pray. In the Old Testament reading just now, you might like to turn to it. This is on page 468 of the Old Testament. Page 468. It tells how David was chosen among his many brothers to be the next king of Israel. And when we read that passage, we will know that in the natural, David was an extraordinary young man. Bible says that he was handsome and athletic, and he was talented musically. He was a gifted speaker, a natural leader. Yet, the Bible makes it clear that it was for none of these reasons that God used him. If you are open to that chapter, look at verse 7. The prophet there said, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So God chose David, and God anointed David to be the leader of Israel. And verse 16 describes this supernatural enabling. It says, "Samuel took the horn of oil," you can see that picture on the screen, "and anointed David in the midst of his brothers." And look at that verse in the Bible, friends, verse 13. When that anointing took place, the Bible says, "And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward." So it was this anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that enabled David to excel in the service of Saul. When you read the Bible, you know that David was not a perfect man. He had his own share of faults, and very glaring ones at that. But when you read the Bible, you will know that it was that special anointing that made David a man of God, a good leader of Israel. And we see it immediately after the anointing, because of King Saul's obedience, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented Saul." And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre, his musical instrument, and he played it with his hand. And the Bible says that Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. So friends, do we see that supernatural anointing? Some of us here are very gifted musicians. When we play, it brings refreshing to the soul. But in David's case, it didn't just stop there. The evil spirits who were tormenting Saul, they had to leave when David played and served in the anointing of the Lord. It's been said that three A's are needed for all of us to serve well: ability, attitude, anointing. So at the various stations of life, in your vocations or in your workplace, we all need ability. And so we take the trouble to hone our skills, to upgrade our skills. And career coaches will tell us that we also need to have good attitudes, good behavior, good character, and develop that, because when all things are equal, it is that attitude that will take us to the next level of things. And that is in the natural. But friends, today, as we read God's word, do we realize that as children and as the chosen of God, the anointing of the Spirit is available to us to enable us to do well? And that, not because we are deserving, it's a supernatural gift of grace. And so when we read the next chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 17, we will see that that anointing that was upon David enabled him to tackle the enemy of Israel and to slay the giant Goliath. We know that story so well, how David killed that 9-footer giant just with a sling and a smooth stone from the river. Friends, who and what are the giants in our lives? Right now, what is that insurmountable problem in your life? Is it a health issue? And that can be a real giant. Is it family, relationships, your marriage? Is it your job? Often it is. Or the absence of it. Is it finance? Is it indebtedness? Or maybe a broken past or a most uncertain future, a particular loneliness, anxiety, or perhaps a giant of temptation, something that's drawing you away, some addiction. And besides personal concerns, are there giants that you and I together must contend with? What obstacles are there in the way for the gospel to touch lives, to revive the church, to positively transform our society? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Joshua Chew Ban It was the Bishop of Singapore. He was the sixth Bishop of Singapore, and he was the first Asian bishop. He served from 1966 to 1982. How many of you know Bishop Chew Ban It? Yeah, you've been around in the church for a long time. Bishop Chew went home to the Lord just last year in 2016, and today you can find his story in the latest edition of the Diocesan Digest, and that's why it was given to you. Page 40, his story is there. But his testimony is also printed in your handout on pages 3 and 4. And in his testimony, Bishop Chew tells how God moved upon him and opened a whole new world to him personally and to the Anglican Church in this diocese. So you take home that testimony, but just for now, if you look at page 3, in the pull quote, the bishop said, "I was broken and in despair because I felt that we seem to be relying more on the power of politics and economics than on the power of God. Although these factors are extremely important, I was finding that without God's power, they brought no solution. In the end, all my positions were empty." And the bishop says, "When you're at the very heights of power and you discover that you're powerless, what do you do?" And then the bishop describes the people and events which led him to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He also describes the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then on page 4, that pull quote there summarizes the bishop's experience. He said, "Several things have convinced me that the experience was genuine. Liturgy, which you and I know can be so dry and routine, scripture and prayer have really come alive for me. My work as a bishop has become much more exciting, and the life of the diocese is changing. One of the more dramatic and profound changes had been the increase of physical and spiritual healing." So that is Bishop Chew Ban It's testimony. And friends, if we look at the history of our own diocese here in Singapore, you will see that spiritual renewal in the Holy Spirit shows even on our historical charts, growth charts. So friends, are you running on empty today? Would you like to be filled with the Spirit? But how can we be filled with the Spirit? And contrary sometimes to our thinking, being filled with the Spirit is not about a particular style of worship. It is not about a particular form or posture that we take. It's not about decibels. It's not just about electric instruments. None of that. How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? So in closing, let's consider the gospel reading that was taken from Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we know that it's a Bible chapter. A lot of it is on prayer, because in that chapter, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And the beginning verses contains a prayer which you and I today call the Lord's Prayer. It's the Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So you know that prayer. That is a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. But what we often forget is in the second section of Luke chapter 11, if you like to look at it, in the next few verses, you see Jesus shows us how we can pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, what father among you, if a son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Jesus said, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So friends, what a promise. God will give us the Holy Spirit, not because we are good, not because we are confirmed, not because we are deserving, no. Jesus said, rather, much more than our earthly fathers who give us good gifts, our Heavenly Father gives us the Holy Spirit because He loves us. So where the gift of the Holy Spirit is concerned, Jesus said, everyone who asks receives. And we note that this is in the context, Jesus said, of asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks, find. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. So friends, today, Pentecost Sunday, would you like to ask God for this gift of the Holy Spirit? Today, Pentecost Sunday, you who have been filled with the Spirit, would you ask God again to fill you with the Spirit? Shall we bow our heads now? And in a few moments, let us be still. And would you in your hearts speak to the Lord? If you have ever been rude to the Holy Spirit, if you have ever mocked the Holy Spirit, if you are cynical about the things of the Spirit, would you just speak to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to help you? And if you are parched, thirsty, empty, you've come to the end of yourself, would you also now, in your heart, just voice that to the Lord? And now, if you would like the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then as Jesus taught us to do, you personally ask for Him. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. By faith, ask, and by faith, receive. And we are now going to pray together. If you would like to join me in asking God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, if you would like to join me in asking God to fill this congregation, to fill St. Andrew's again, our church, with the Holy Spirit. Would you please stand with me and we all pray together. And as we stand, shall we just lift our hands with our palms open? This is a posture that helps us to yield ourselves to God and to receive from Him a blessing, that gift, that anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you appreciate prayer for healing, stand. Stand for yourself, stand in proxy for your loved one. If you need supernatural help, you need a new forgiveness, you need a new strength, a new hope. If you would like to give your life today to Jesus Christ, stand with your hands open, speak to Him, and receive from Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you now in earnest prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we bring our lives to you, believing that you are the Savior of our souls and the Lord of our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, pour into our hearts forgiveness and love. Come, Holy Spirit, come and touch us and heal us, even in our physical bodies, in our minds, in our spirits. Come, Holy Spirit, come and mold us. Come and fill us. And Holy Spirit, use us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.